Thank you for joining us. My name is Jason Gann. In chapter 1 of Jonah, Jonah is called by God to go preach unto the city of Nineveh, but he doesn't want to go because Nineveh is the instrument to be used as punishment upon the people of God. So he tries to run from God. But we need to know that we can't run from God. We know that we can't run from God because God's all-seeing eyes are everywhere. Jonah tries to run from God. He gets on a ship. He tries to get away from Nineveh, from even the area in which he was, and a storm comes. You see, God controls the weather, and he uses the storm against Jonah for disobeying him. The mariners on the ship, they're concerned about this. They find out that Jonah is running from God. They ask Jonah what should be done. Jonah says, "Throw me overboard." And so eventually they do. And then Jonah is swallowed by a great fish. And while in that fish for 3 days and 3 nights, he realizes that he needs to run to God. And he prays unto God. He asks God's forgiveness. And he determines that he will run with God. And in chapter 3, he does this. He goes into Nineveh. He says that yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, Nineveh obeys God. God sees their faith. He sees their obedient faith by their works. And he decides not to overthrow them. Now to chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah was very angry at what? He was angry because the people repented. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. Verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil." He knew that God would relent of the disaster that he had decided to do. God cannot do evil. God cannot repent of sin because God cannot sin. So the word evil here means disaster. The word repent here, as used here, means relent. God decided to not bring a disaster upon Nineveh. Why? Because he's gracious and he's merciful. When we ask for forgiveness and when we obey God in every way, repenting of our sins, God forgives us. If you're in sin, I encourage you to come out of that. Become a Christian. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." You need to repent of your sins. Acts 2:38. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. And be baptized. Acts 2:38. In order to become a Christian. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. If you are a Christian and yet you've gone astray, you need to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, Acts 8:22. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. These are the ways to make your life right with God. Jonah knew that through repentance, Nineveh would not be destroyed. He tells God about this. Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah wants to leave this world. Verse 4, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" In other words, should you be angry over a group of people repenting? Verse 5, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So he made himself a shade and he sat under it in the shadow so he did not get too hot, and he just watched Nineveh to see what might happen to them." Continuing onward, verse 6, "And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." So God prepared through nature this gourd. And this was no doubt a miracle that God caused to happen, for the Lord to spring forth like this, that fast and that big, from the natural ground. And Jonah was so glad for this gourd because it was a shadow over his head. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So the worm causes the gourd to wither away. Verse 8, and it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. So again, he wants to leave this world. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 64,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? What a great and powerful lesson that God gave unto Jonah here. Jonah had pity on the gourd, which he had not labored, neither had he made it grow. It came up in a night and it perished in a night. God asked Jonah, should he not spare Nineveh, wherein are more than 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? We learn from the book of Jonah that God is not a respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. The devil will tempt men to run from God. We should never give in to the devil's temptations to do this. Let's learn from Jonah to not run from God. Let's learn from Jonah that when we're in a time of need, such as he was when he was in the belly of the great fish, to pray unto God, but not to just wait until those times to pray unto God. And when we pray unto God, let us always offer thanksgiving unto God for all that He's done. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry about anything, but pray unto God about things. Let us learn from Jonah to pray. Let us learn to be prayerful people. Let us learn to be happy when others repent. Let us learn to take God at His word, to give in and give our life over to His will, and to be happy. And we see the results of the labor that we have done in converting others, when we see that as a result their life is better. The result of Jonah's preaching was that the life for Nineveh was better at this time, and that they are spared. Jonah was upset about it. He should have been happy about it. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, Jesus says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Those in Jesus' time, they did not obey Jesus. He was greater than Jonah, but they did not obey Him. And as a result, through their example, the men of Nineveh rose in judgment and showed by their example that they condemned those people for not obeying Jesus. Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights for us. He was resurrected, and as a result of this, we learn that we can take part in the resurrection of the just on the final day if we'll only live faithfully during this life. I exhort you to live faithfully. I encourage you to do this, to always live for God and to put God first, to not run from God, to run to God, and then to run with God. In Jonah chapter 4, Jonah ran on a different path than God because he was not happy when the people repented. But in the end, I believe that Jonah saw the case that he ought to run with God. And so let us always remember what Psalm 139, verses 7 through 11 say. Where shall I go from thy spirit, the psalmist says unto God, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 12, yea, the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verse 14, he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He goes on to say, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. That should be our thought. We should ask God to search us, to find out if we're living rightly. If we can do that, then that means that we are willing to live in accordance with God's plan. We need to pray unto God to lead us in the way everlasting, to help us to go to heaven, but we must help others go to heaven as well. So let us teach others the way in which they can go to heaven, and let us follow that great and all-sufficient Word of God, the Holy Bible, in order to know how that we must live in this life, to have the best life upon the earth, and the best life in eternity in heaven. Thank you for joining us.